I don't wanna go to work. I just wanna chill and play all day. Look him dead in the face and say, I wish I could just be still asleep while you work.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Jobs Blow podcast with Brianna and Josh.
The podcast for dreamers with and without day jobs.
We're so glad to be here sharing more inspiring stories as well as perspectives on surviving life and career in, during, around, and now still during a pandemic.
I noticed you didn't know I changed it on you, did you?
I know, but I like it better this way.
Yeah. Well, enough with the other stuff. So so let's jump in really quickly and talk about what's new with us before we talk to our guest and
okay.
Go into my inspiring quote.
Yeah, inspiring quote, which is a new aspect to the show is Brianna's inspiring quotes now, you know, as we change up. You don't like my sound effects and my voice? No, I changed the little cadence there. I guess not. Okay, yeah, good talk. Sure. All right, whatever.
So what's new?
What's new? Nothing.
Have
really
you been getting fan mail from your ad for ADP or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, well, I'm half painted in paint. I got a lot of likes and shares and comments and stuff. So thanks to everybody out there who did that. But it's definitely a silly one as far as that goes. It was Mother's Day, so that was great. Just got to spend. I'll ask you about that. But the funniest thing was today. It's ironic for our guest today, but I'm reading. My daughter had like a reading assessment, and I'm on the computer, the headphones on, and all I hear is her going like, "Manure." She has to like practice reading a manure, and then she's like manure, and I'm like, "What is this reading a book?" What? She's like the dog that rolls in manure. I'm like, "What book did you choose? How is this an option on the reading options of the first grade reading list?" You know, I was like, that was our big thing today. So she read a book on poop. That was great.
Oh, well, hey.
What about you? How was your weekend?
Happy Mother's Day. It was good. They made me homemade Reese's peanut butter cups, which I mean, did I need them? No.
But they 150 calories for three.
Yeah, no, it's 150 grams of fat probably, but they are so good. And they made me dinner and wrote me nice notes.
That's
and,
nice.
Yeah, no.
You deserve it. And they were really nice pictures. I think you posted them, but they were really great pictures you posted on your social. That was
thank you. And I also went out for the first time in the city on Friday night.
And?
In Times Square, which I don't know if you know, but Saturday night there was a shooting.
Right by where Drunk Shakespeare is. I had walked out of Seventh Avenue.
It was fine, but like Times Square, it's creepy because while there are people, it is not the level of people that you're used to.
Right.
And when I went to leave at 9:30, I went down to the one in the 9 train or whatever it is, and it had just come, and so it was empty. And I have never been on a subway platform at night by myself.
Oh.
And I totally freaked out and dialed and ended up calling my in-laws. I meant to call Brian. And I was just like, "Oh shit, I'm sorry." And then finally people came down. It was a little bit nerve-wracking.
So happy Mother's Day, freak show. Okay.
Yeah. No, I survived, thankfully.
All right, get us into the quote because it is a good quote for today. And our guest is super awesome. We're super excited about today's guests.
So today's quote I chose because yesterday was Mother's Day, which by the time the show airs will be probably a month away, and because of our guest. So the quote is, "When you are a mother, you are never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child." And that is a quote by the actress Sophia Loren.
So you have to do it with an Italian accent when you say it.
You know I can't do accents.
Okay.
Only Ohio.
Ohio, that's
so
it.
Anyway.
That's a great quote.
It is,
right? Is that how you feel as far? Because I kind of feel that way as a dad, but as a mother, you feel that way?
Well, I 100% I do. And our guest today is the mother of a child actor. So when we talk about someone pursuing their dreams, this person is actually overseeing someone else's dream. And so I think this will be a really interesting show. Today's show is called Parental Guidance is Suggested with Hollywood Mom. And I don't know, Tracy, if you like to be called a momager.
Oh, God, no.
No. So is Hollywood Mom better?
No.
So what should we call
just
you?
Manager.
Maybe manager. Maybe by the end of the meeting, we'll know.
Come up with a... Okay, well, marketing executive Tracy Petrucci. And she is the mother of Olive Petrucci, who is a star on the Netflix show. Well, it's on Netflix now. I'm Sorry, starring Andrea Savage. So welcome to the show, Tracy. And Olive, if Olive is still around.
Hey there. Hi,
yes,
Tracy.
I'm here.
Hi, Olive.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start it off by saying this, that Brianna and I are huge fans of that show, which means we're huge fans of you. And you're just so entertaining and so funny and also shocking how much adult material is on that show. So good for you for managing all of that. We can't wait to hear all about it. But you are not a little kid anymore. You're a little kid on the show, right? You were playing, I think, a 4-year-old, right? Four, five-year-old?
Five. I think she went to kindergarten in the...
Yeah, I think it was five.
Five. But you were a couple years older, right? When you were playing that part?
Yeah, in the pilot, I'm pretty sure I was five, but then I think I turned six later in season one.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like the first... Gosh, we don't... It was actually 5 years ago exactly that the pilot was filmed. And right. I'm thinking... So I'm having a hard time remembering, but I'm thinking... The first season, she's in preschool, actually.
Yeah.
And then I believe in the second season, she goes into kindergarten.
Was there a transition between when the show was on True TV and then Netflix? Like, was there a large gap or was that just a continuous production?
It didn't change hands or anything. It just shows sometimes get aired on Netflix. That's all.
Right.
So had Olive appeared in anything before she got the audition for the show and was cast?
Haven't I been in like a couple commercials?
Yeah, not really anything significant. There was one commercial where she's in it for a split second.
Santa.
Yeah, like a whole day of shooting, but then it flashes real quick.
Right.
And really, honestly, that's probably it.
You got to save that though, because when you're famous, they love to go back and be like, remember this commercial? And like, there she is.
Well, Olive,
yeah, it was awesome. She just happens to lean just so. And that's the only reason that she even comes into view is she kind of just leans forward and does something just by chance. And there she is.
Olive might know Josh from his, what was the cartoon thing?
Oh, maybe my Team Umi Zumi. You ever watch that on Nick Jr.? No.
Oh.
Team Umi Zumi.
I played a
chef talking to cartoon characters. It was really intriguing.
Send us that.
It was a highlight for him.
Highlight. I love it. It was a great job. But it's funny you say that about commercials and leaning in, because that's mostly what I do. And my goal, my idea in my mind is always like, just always be looking at the camera, right? If you're always looking at the camera, there's a chance that the camera's looking back at you and you get into the final cut. So when,
that's
you know,
so funny.
As opposed to being a star on the show.
So Tracy, how did you find out about the audition for I'm Sorry? And was it a long process? Did she have to like compete for this position to get cast?
Yeah,
or
you know, it was a basic audition process. So she did have so backing it up. So I did used to use her when she was really little to sort of stand around and model for me, like for clients. So maybe there was a snack company or, you know, there was someone and I needed, you know, lifestyle pictures. So I'd say, oh, stand here and hold this fruit leather and, you know, I'm going to take your picture. And then I got to a point where I was like, okay, I don't want to exploit my kid. I'm going to use real kids at this point that, you know, want to pursue this. So I kind of made this shift. I think she was around four. I made this shift where I was like, oh, I'm going to start, you know, there was a kids acting school and they
right under your work office.
Yes. They I met them. They had a really great Brooke Byler acting studios are wonderful. And she shared an office space like near mine, kind of in the same building. And so she sent me she would put my queries out to all these kids. And one time I brought Olive with me on a shoot and I wasn't using her, I was using these other kids. And she goes, wait a minute. How come I'm not in this? How come I'm not doing it? I was like, oh, well, I don't know. You kind of seem like, you know, I don't want to take advantage of you. I'm going to use these other kids that want to do this. And kind of at the same time, I had noticed she always had this affinity for memorizing entire scenes. I'm sure this is many kids, by the way, but she would memorize entire scenes and shows and go around like acting out these little scenes. I'm like, oh, she's really good at that. And so I just put her in the kids acting school for fun because she did sort of show interest back then. And at this time too, like she would sit on, my mom would take her to Disneyland and she would sit on the bus from the parking lot to Disneyland, blasting out the whole Frozen song for the whole, it's one of those, this isn't going where you think it is, where it's one of those, my kid always knew they wanted to be an actor and an entertainer. Right. It's not like that. It's taken quite a turn actually, but I feel like all these stories start out the same. You think, oh, look at her just entertaining. Look at her just enjoying being in front of the camera. And so I thought, oh, okay, I'll put her in the acting school. It was really great for confidence and taught them a lot of skills anyway, actually. So I wasn't thinking anything about it at that point. Right. So but then pretty soon though, they said, oh, she's pretty. They're like, oh, we taught her how to slate. I'm like, what is a slate? What are you guys talking about?
Right.
And they were like, oh, she's kind of really gotten pretty good pretty quickly. And, you know, we know some agents and we're happy to connect you. And from there, you kind of need to do your thing. And so we drove up, she got connected, you know, and
you're really, in San Diego, right, Tracy?
Yeah, we're in San Diego. And the first agents, they said, you should just start with commercial and print. That's an easy way to get into it. And I said, whatever. And we did, and it was okay. But to be honest with you, we're really not all about it. And I am really, really busy. And, you know, everyone's really busy. And
you're a marketing executive? Is that what?
Yeah, I own a small boutique agency. So we're about 8 employees, and we do Facebook ads and digital marketing and stuff. And I'm just really busy. And so we didn't really want to drive up for these little silly jobs. And I know it sounds really spoiled, but that's just the way it is. And I always had this thought that Olive was really better anyway for the actual, like on video. So after a pretty short stint with the model commercial side, I kind of was thinking, yeah, could we go into more of the theatrical side?
Right.
And that is where it really was better. And so we switched kind of out of the print side and went to this other agent. And that was right after that she got the audition and was cast.
So that was virtually one of the first TV auditions she had.
I think it might have been the first one. I'd have to go, but it was very soon. And there were other kids and I remember the whole thing and it was really interesting. And we always tried to go into it, just chill with our coloring books and our stuff and just sit there and
because those can be marathon waiting rooms too.
Well, and also that drive from San Diego, if you were going to LA, that's a good drive in the traffic. So
it was, and back then it wasn't so bad because I kind of felt like it was a reason to slow down, and I wouldn't book meetings, and me and Olive would make up these games in the car. And so I really tried to make the best of it, and it was almost like a little break, and it was some of the more kind of fun bonding times that we had, the driving, just because, you know, I would try to focus that attention and we'd make up songs.
How much experience did you, I mean, you had some obviously in being, you know, the marketing side and presentation and everything like that, but how did you help her through that whole process? I mean, she books it, she gets on set, she's in this world. I mean, it's a whole other world.
Okay. This is really wild because I could not believe how this kid just gets on this set and just knows what to do, because I'm not that familiar. And the pilot, they made it very nice because they're a wonderful, wonderful group who cared a lot about her experience, a lot. And we can get into some of that, but the audition situation is really not that intimidating. I mean, you can pipe in. I don't know how. I would think it would be hard with the lights and the camera, but I think that's where the acting school comes in. That's what they practice. They get recorded. They have lights on them. Well, so
can she say like that. Ask her real quick? Yeah. Olive, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Like, what was? Do you remember that the difference between simply being in the audition room and then all of a sudden the crew and the lights and the set and the whole nine? I mean, do you remember that difference?
So I remember like waiting in the waiting room for the audition, then just going in. They would have like a camera, and we would just kind of like, they just film us and I just like say my lines and then they say thank you, like bye. And then
super fast, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Was really fast.
You're like, okay.
And then I feel like I did feel a difference with when I went on the show.
Right.
But I feel like I don't know, I feel like I didn't really
Was it hard per se?
I'll tell you what I saw.
I mean,
and
I
you
just,
can tell me if it was different, but
they were like, yeah. They would like, if I forgot my lines, they would just kind of like feed my lines and to me. Right. And I just, they were really nice about it. And
no, I have to tell you this. No, I have to butt in here because this is the thing. This is what blew my mind from my perspective. You get there and yes, there's all kinds of stuff going on. And they didn't know if I was a crazy mom back then. They didn't know whatever. Right. So they, you know, they put you kind of away. And I'm sitting there just trying to work and be productive, honestly. And I couldn't get a signal. So I'm like, okay. Right. And finally they realized that I'm not a crazy, you know, person. And they let me come up and they give me headphones and let me watch. I was mind blown because here's this little kid who had never done anything like this before. She's sitting in a hot car middle of summer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Hard. I don't blame you, but, she was such a pro because they're, she's just sitting here waiting and Andrea and Tom are having their conversation. And then all of a sudden it's her cue. And then she pipes in with her line and then they go on and then they'd say cut and then they would do it again. And she just was doing it. I was like, wait, who is that? And how does she know how to do that? And how is she just listening for her line and playing with her toy and piping in with her line? And it really, really shocked me how she just took to it like so naturally. It was very odd to me as an outsider being like, whoa, like where did she learn how to do that? Okay, right. She has.
And how
you can butt in. Yeah.
Okay, and so, ahead, sorry. I don't know about other kids, but I just feel like it was kind of easy, I feel like. I don't know, because they just kind of told me what I have to do. Just, like, say this when they say this.
They really wanted her to have a good experience.
Yeah,
and I think
and
that's key.
I feel like I just did what they told me, and I just feel like it wasn't too hard. I just had to, you know.
Well, that's the thing.
How many,
I don't know about other people. I feel like it was just kind of, like, one of those things you learn quick, you know?
And how many times did you have to audition? Did you just do it this one time? And
there was a callback. I don't really know how much I'm supposed to say or not. But there was a callback and, you know, and then that was it. So.
Well, sometimes they have you like meet the people too. I mean, like they have like what's called like chemistry reads and stuff, right? Yeah. So I'm sure, and Olive, tell me if I'm wrong, but like you had to develop some rapport with them before you're on set, either through rehearsals or just general meetings, read throughs, things like that.
You know what? They didn't have her do that
really
because she was so little and. Like you maybe in season three, you might've done a bit of this, but sometimes they sit and they read through different lines and you practice ahead with everybody. But with her, they had her come. I would have gone over the lines with her once or twice just so she knew. And then
like the night before.
Yeah, the night before or like right when we got there, they'd have it printed and I would just say, oh, here's what's happening today. And they really liked it. That way where she came in real natural without kind of over rehearsing and without any of that. And that worked really well for them actually as a dynamic.
Well, they also have Brianna.
What was your favorite part of being on the show?
I have that question asked a lot. well, this isn't really part of acting, but I really enjoyed this. I loved the craft.
I knew you were gonna say that. Oh yeah.
And then
good answer, Olive. Snacks.
Yeah, and I think I also just loved all of the like just looking at all the different like props on the set. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought it was fun to see that in a show. That's, I don't know.
Did
I
they have one of those big costume, huge costume rooms where you just like clothes galore and you're like, oh my god.
Well, I know there's been like, I've seen these movies where they have like, they're at like Universal Studios and they have like a huge room.
Right.
But they didn't have that. They did have a pretty big trailer and it had a lot of clothes and they were all like labeled for everyone.
Yeah, because they film on location. So they did a lot of moving around.
Yeah. Most of, I feel like everything was in a trailer.
Yeah, they were always moving around.
Well, that's what I saw Andrea when she posted about the show not renewing, that the problem was they needed to be on sound stages and they wouldn't pay the cost for it.
It's too bad. It's such a funny show.
It really is.
My wife loves it. Brianna loves it.
And so I wanted to ask you, Olive, do you still want to pursue acting? How are you feeling?
Well, season one and two wasn't too hard for me, like leaving or anything. But I feel like when I did season three, it was just kind of, I don't know, a little dramatic, would I say? I don't know. But I was just kind of sad to leave.
You mean like it was hard for you to depart from the family aspect of it?
Yeah, and like all my friends at school. It was just kind of hard.
And it was the first time that she had to do school on set, because when she was in filmed the pilot, she was in kindergarten. Right. Actually, when she filmed the pilot, I'm sorry, it was the summer. There was nothing. And then when she filmed season one, she was in kindergarten, and there weren't really a lot of real rules around that. And then
it wasn't that hard.
Right. And then same thing. Then when they filmed season two, it was over the summer, so there were no issues. And then in season three, it was right in the middle of the school year. And so there was the whole grappling of hours of schooling at the same time as filming. And that was new. That was a new part of it. So, and it wasn't as fun at that point.
So after like COVID came and everything, and we had to like leave the set, I just kind of was thinking about it. Yeah. Right. I was just kind of thinking about it. And I was thinking I've already been on like two seasons of the show and maybe three. And I just don't know if I want to do more of that and like leave and also have to do the school, because it was just kind of hard. So right now I'm just kind of taking a break, but I don't know, maybe when I get older I might want to.
Good for you, Olive.
Yeah, you know, way to have a whole perspective on that.
Yeah, it's something that we were told a lot too by kind of her agents and different people, are when you're down in San Diego, and now we relocated to Carlsbad just because I'm from North County anyway. 3 years ago. Yeah, but it's when you're down here, it's not normal to leave class for an audition. It's not normal to disappear. And the way that we did it is we did compartmentalize it. And I like the way they film it all in, you know, 3 month block, and then you're done. And so that's the way we always did it. We would relocate, we'd get an Airbnb, we would do LA, we'd do the show, and then we'd come home and she would go. We didn't really push hard for anything in between. She would do her other things, her other hobbies, her other activities. And so there was a lot of sort of compartmentalizing. Okay, this is that life and this is this life. Not because it is kind of traumatic to a kid when they're about to take a math test or they're about to do something, and then it's like, oh wait, we have to drive to LA, there's an audition. And so we didn't do hardly any of that. Unless it was something really, really.
So you were just really like, okay with, we got this job, we're not going to run around crazy to auditions, even though we're in LA, you weren't auditioning.
No. Well, when she's filming, it's like, it's like every day, Monday through Friday. For those 3 months, not really anything either. And then when we were home, we kind of just chilled and did the normal life down here. And then if it was a really great opportunity, we would go up, but it was, you know, just the agents also were very great. They have backgrounds in child, you know, advocacy, and they really understood all of our hesitations and all of our, you know, thoughts on it. And they were really supportive. And so they weren't very pushy either. Right. And I'm really, really grateful for that.
Yeah. And you weren't approaching it like some, I think, moms from the past who I think their children worked and the mom did not work. And that was...
I don't know if those are moms from the past or there's moms of the
present. There's probably some now too.
That's why I get a little bit offended too, when I'm like, I don't really want any association with that, to be honest, because there's a lot of different ways to do the same thing. And, you know, I do think it was an amazing opportunity. And I think Olive will look back on it one day and be like, wow, I can't believe I did that, you know? Right. And she did do it really naturally and she did do really well. It's just you. So this is shifts to a little bit of the whole, you know, what are you doing with your life aspect? And it's like, we just don't think that a young child knows what they want to do.
Well, and she sounds like she does though. I mean, good
I
for
mean,
her.
She,
well, I mean,
she, yeah.
I don't really know. I don't really have anything in mind for what I want to do. I know I probably do want to have a family. Mm-hmm. but is
whoa.
Yeah.
Well, slow down so there, girl.
I'll 10 years old, Alan.
Josh and I don't know what we want to do.
Let me ask you this before you answer that question, because what we're talking about is career, right?
Yeah.
And you're talking about family and career, but do you look at it as fun, like taking a ballet class or playing soccer in a league? You know what I mean? Like, how do you view just being, you know, to us, it's like amazing. Oh my God, you're on the show. But how do you look at being on the show? Is it an extracurricular activity? You know what I mean? Like, I'm really interested in your perspective of that.
Yeah. So I think that, like, kind of like what we were saying before, when it wasn't really that hard without like school and everything, it wasn't really that stressful, and it was kind of easy. So it was just like really fun. But, when we started filming season 3, I just thought it kind of got a little more stressful.
Right.
So, I mean, it was still fun, but I felt like it was just a little.
Yeah, I can
extra.
Help you out on this.
Yeah,
was like she that. Getting extra. More lines, this, like more character development?
No, it was going to be fun.
Like, I feel like season 3 was the best.
Yeah, it's
except,
so sad you guys don't get
like,
to see
yeah,
the
except
stories
for,
were good.
Like, with the, like, I feel like I had the most fun with season 3, just not the, like, school part.
Right.
But
yeah, there were more kids on set. It was
kind
of, it was really good.
Kid,
it was
like
really
every,
well written.
Yeah, there's
wait,
a kid like
wait,
every
they didn't release
day.
season 3?
No, they didn't get through it
because
COVID.
We only did 2 weeks of it.
That's why she was livid, right. Which is such a crime. It's such a crime. And you know what the biggest thing too, which is so interesting, Olive, is that when you're that young as an actor on a show, you're the audience, at least for me, the audience, I look at it as like, oh, she must be related to someone like Tom or Andrea or something, because mm-hmm. she's so natural with them. So you know what I mean? Like the Apatow mm-hmm. girls
yeah.
were his kids and they were in all those movies. They were funny. So you're like, oh, she grew up around that. So for you to come and be so natural and so funny and have no direct connection, it is a testament to your talent, to your interest in it. I mean, that is something to commend.
So Tracy, going back mm-hmm. though, you were saying you would drive 5 days a week from San Diego.
No, we would get an Airbnb.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I'm saying. We really just basically relocated and we're like, oh, we're doing LA now for 3 months. And then we would come home and we would do normal life. So we just sectioned it. So really didn't change that much for her because we would just move, you know, up there and I would work from there and my husband, we were all there. And so we were just in a different, we all went as a family, not in season 3, we were going to experiment with, you know, different ways of doing it. We were going to, cause Sage was getting older and we just wanted to see what it would be like to not, but yeah, what I was going to say too, though, is I think what's important. And I just don't think that this is something that maybe Olive could articulate again at her age,
right?
When you're going to go into your formative developmental years, I think it's important to pay attention. And this is the thing, I had to really separate myself from this child I raised. Like you pick out their clothes, you do their hair, and then they start picking out their own clothes and they start doing their own hair. And then they start, it's a very interesting process. And when we reach the point where, you know, the show probably isn't coming back and we're discussing all of this and we're having to make these decisions, for me to say, okay, it's not my life. I am not Olive. Like she's her own person. She has her own opinions and her own thoughts. I don't know everything that's best for her. I think I may know, but I also may not know. And she has ideas on what's on, you know, so you have to constantly be balancing out what you think you know or what you might assume. And this is one of those situations where I thought, and my husband made such a good point. He's like, it will always be there. If she, because my big fear is, oh my gosh, she's going to get older and she's going to look back and she's going to say, oh, why didn't you like push me harder? Why, you know, there's a stigma. Like, there's no stigma if you force your kid to finish piano lessons. There's no stigma right. if you force your kid
right.
to go to soccer if they're crying. And I look back, I'm like, oh, I wish my mom made me stick with ballet, or, oh, I wish my mom, I'd have this, I'd have that. However, you know, so my fear is, oh, she's going to grow up, look back, not realize this opportunity that she kind of had and go, mom, why didn't you X, Y, Z? However, this is a very different situation in a very interesting industry right. for children. And we had a very lucky experience right. that Andrea and everybody involved did care so much about her having a positive experience and did try to shelter her from inappropriate things. And, you know, right. hopefully there's time to get into some of that, because it was an amazing, the job that they did, given the subject matter.
Sure.
100% comfortable with the way that they handled it. And so I don't know that that would be the case if she were on another show. I mean, some of these auditions that she would get, I was like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to go make my kid go through that. That sounds horrible.
Well, right. you hear more and more how mm-hmm. awful different people who used to be supposedly great people to work with, how truly awful they are on sets. So, yeah. I mean, it does sound like you had an amazing,
we had a really good, you know, experience. And here's the thing. If she gets through these formative years and she can, you know, have her peer groups and her friend groups and all the things that are important to learn how to function as a person in society, which 2020 right. definitely threw off. But those are important years. And if she is a natural, like she seems to be, and she goes through other hobbies and she circles back to it at 15 or 16 or 20, like many other actors don't even move to LA or try to act until they're in their 20s. It'll be there for her. That we have a great relationship with the agents. They're happy to have that conversation. So it was one of those things where I just had to sort of let go of the, but what a great opportunity for my kid, and sure. go, well, this is a really big decision that I'm absolutely not going to take lightly. And it seemed like the thing to do is to pause and let her do some other things for a while.
Right. Well, I have two questions in that, because there is, from the business side of that, you know, like if you look at, regardless of the disgusting things that happen in the industry, but mm-hmm. a lot of successful actors now are people that started when they were super young, you know? Yeah. So there is this kind of also from the business side of it, like this opportunity now that she's opened this door for herself and she's good at it.
That's
number one. But then the other side of that is also like what you said about the circle of friends and things, is I'm also interested in how much of that, like, you know, do people recognize or want to be closer to you? Is the fame aspect, you know, kind of spilling over, good or bad, in one way or the other? And how you juggling all of that?
It's a show that no one in her.
Well, right. But they might know, somebody's mom says, oh, you know, Olive's on a TV show. Oh, you can't watch it, but she's on a TV show.
Well, that has had its pros and cons too, because there are some people who are huge fans, and there are other people who, you know, there's some moms who don't like the show, and they obviously don't know how to carry themselves in front of their children, because they obviously say things to their kids and then their kids say things to Olive, and then
really
Olive goes, oh no.
Yeah. And so there's a lot going on there. There's a lot
but
going
you
on
know,
there. And
Tracy, that's jealousy. It's pure jealousy. Like those mothers.
I'm not going to assume that I don't know.
Well, I will assume it for you.
I don't know if that's true.
And they're just jealous, bitch.
Sorry. The show is not for everyone. And I 100% respect that.
Right.
Do you get
feedback from parents being like, how could you put your daughter on a show?
Not real. Other than this one particular person, other than this one mom that did say something to your kids, and then they said something to Olive, and Olive said something to me. Other than her, well, we won't go into details on that at this time. But it's just strangers, and I'm not. You know what's so funny is I'm not even. I've never worried about I don't care what strangers think. But I did actually really care about the people in my inner circles, because you don't realize what it was really like, and all of the good things and all of the ways they splice things together and the ways they take her off set before they film the next scene, even though it looks like it, nobody knows that side of it. Right. And a lot of shows wouldn't go through those lengths, right, but this show did. And so to me, I don't care what strangers would say, because everyone has, you know, it's a very subjective, nuanced thing. To some people, what is inappropriate or how long people wait to talk to their kids about certain things. I have a very similar outlook, in my opinion, to raising my daughters the way that Andrea would raise Amelia in this show. And so for me, there just really weren't issues like that. And if another mom has issues with that, like, I really don't care. Like, that's totally right. Fine. But I did worry that my grandma and aunts and uncles like understood that I was not subjecting my kids to anything.
But really, when you said strangers, you didn't, like, you never had anybody that you didn't know say anything on like social media or anything.
Not to just on the shows, in just comments, not to me directly. No. But just like, I can't believe what mother would. And I just doesn't bother me at all. But I'm like, oh, you don't even know.
How the process
well,
is.
Yeah. Well, somebody, there's always got to be someone to complain about something. Yeah.
And
so,
it's totally like, it's fine. Cause I really do. Like, I'm sure I've done that, you know, I mean, for something, and not on TV. Cause I have never even thought that much about it, but I'm sure I've been a judgmental person before on something. I can't fathom I haven't. So
So now that Olive has this time back, is she taking acting classes still, or is there something else that she's...
No, she is very immersed in dancing at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
What kind of dance?
She loves dancing. She's a dancer now. She's extremely doing the splits and doing crazy possible things. And...
Olive, what kind of dance do you like? Hip-hop?
So before I got... Like, before I started taking the classes, I really wanted to do lyrical, which is, like, freestyle. And then we learned that you have to take at least a year of ballet before taking...
anything else.
before taking anything else. So I started doing ballet, and I also learned that you have to take jazz to do freestyle, too. So I just started taking ballet.
You have to talk toward the mic.
Okay. So I started taking ballet, and then I'm like, well, why not just do ballet and jazz? So now I do ballet and jazz for 2 hours on only Wednesdays, but I'm going to start on Saturdays, too, in the fall.
Oh, Brianna does it. Yeah.
My daughter's a hip-hop dancer. Well, she was before COVID. Hip-hop
sounds really fun.
Yeah, I actually choreographed.
I was going to say the choreographers here on the call.
Her Rhythm Nation routine that she did in her fifth grade talent show.
Send us a video. We'd like to see that.
It was really good. She did a good job.
Hey, Olive, I have a question. Uh-huh. So, and this, Tracy, this goes to you too. So you're saying like they're moving her around for the scene she needs to be in and the scenes that are not appropriate, right? But that also falls within like the child labor laws, right? Don't they have to get her things shot in a certain time frame also?
Before she knew about Santa Claus and all those things.
Right.
Andrea would hold entire like mandated meetings before and say, remember everyone, Olive still believes in Santa. Don't blow it. Don't spoil it. So we're talking about a person who genuinely is trying to do things in a better way, in my opinion.
Right. Well, and I think it helps too that she's a mom, and her, like, doesn't she have, her daughter's not that much older than Olive, is she?
Just a couple years older.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she could, it was nice that she could relate to, you know, where.
Yeah, because not everybody's going to go through those lengths to. Right. So, yeah, there's laws and there's always a person there observing. But again, based on from all of the things that I've experienced, learned, heard from other moms, heard from other teachers, the way that other shows run things, that level of consideration is generally absent in the way that I saw it, and the way that they would, as soon as they thought that they got her part as many times, you know, they'd go through it. And as soon as they thought that they were good, they would take her out. They'd replace her with other, you know, like a stuffed animal, and Andrea would talk to a fake, you know, a fake Amelia for a while. Like they didn't sit there and make her do it over and over. So yeah, I think there's a genuine level of consideration, like I said, that I don't take lightly as a mom, and as a mom who really does care as well. It impressed me, and it's worth saying because it's definitely not normal.
And it probably spoiled you too, because now if you're on the next, although she's older now, but if you're on the next set, it may not be like that. And then
But you would like to think, given the stuff that's come it is changing, but also with a
and
woman,
that's why, like,
with the woman helming at the helm, I feel like also a mother that it could be makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is it's like, why should we bend over backwards and force something that is controversial in the first place? Like, this show to me was not controversial. I like what it was about. I respect what she was doing, and I like the way that she handled it and she ran it. If it's not like that in a lot of these other networks and these other shows, why should I make my life a ruckus and my daughter's life to go be a part of something that I don't even think is necessarily something that I would believe in? Wow. And that's why I think it's better to wait, let her grow up a little, let her do her thing, let her come back around to it and make more informed decisions as a slightly older female than maybe these next few years would have been. Although I would have trusted the show, had the show continued, I would have been fine with it because I trust them, but I still probably, we would have been probably very not into many other auditions because of that.
What are you going to do if the show comes back? What if someone saves it?
I don't think that's going to happen. Uh-huh. Well, she'd probably finish it out because she is a committed, smart kid, and she would do her job, you know, she would do it. And she'd probably have all kinds of things, great things she would take away from it, I'm sure.
Well, I do have one other, I just wanted to say one quick thing about the parenting thing, because the difference is, just from perspective, is like, I have a 4-year-old son and he's like really good at like hitting baseballs, you know, which is rare, that I pitch to him, which is rare for a 4-year-old. And here I am talking to my friends who have older kids, and I'm like, how do I keep him interested in this, because he likes it and I want him to be playing and be good at something at an early age. Mm-hmm. But the difference between me and you in this situation is that it's a business, there's money, there's other adults, it's like, it's a whole other world. But the potential is also, my son's not playing for the Mets, your daughter could be, you know, a blockbuster star.
I know.
Potentially.
I know. And well, I will say this too, just to have Olive's back. She said something really poignant to me when she, I mean, it must have been very early on. You'll have to look it up. And I remember her saying, just because you're really good at something doesn't mean it's what you want to do. Wow. And talking about dream careers, I struggle with the same thing right now. It's like, I'm really good at what I do. I wouldn't have gotten here, but I often am like, what am I doing? What am I getting out of this? What value am I bringing? You know, I think it's a really important, I bet you, as we get older and we do sell out for things like money or things we don't believe in, or we get, you know, confused on what matters, which I think is a lifelong process, I thought, wow, for somebody, she probably was like 6 when she said that. Maybe. And we were just talking, we're always chatting about it, always talking about it. I always want her to be honest with me. And she always wants to make everyone proud and do right by everyone. But it's at the same time, it's like, to have her had said, well, yeah, because everyone would call, oh, you're so natural, you're so good at it. And it's like, well, does that mean that I should do it just because I'm good at it? And I just thought that was, I've never forgotten.
It was so insightful.
Wait, this is a tough question. Olive, you hear me? If the show went back into production tomorrow and they were like, we need you on set next week, do you go or do you hesitate?
I probably would hesitate a little bit.
Interesting.
Just because it's been like a year. I don't know. I'm just
good answer.
Happy with my life right now.
I think that's it.
I know that if I like, I probably would do it. I mean, I probably would. And I would enjoy it since summer vacation is coming soon. Right. No one be out of school.
Okay.
So
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I
mean, that.
I would probably have to think about it a lot, but I definitely would come to
tell
that
me when in a dance studio in your dressing room. And you want a teacher and you're going to learn how to dance in between.
You know, I think that she would follow through on the commitment of the show because she really cares about everyone on it. And they did give her an amazing experience. And she has honestly only good things to say about it. So if she had to, you know, get through some filming and sort of leave whatever she was doing and put it on pause and do it, I know that she would do it. And I know that she would have a good experience. The hesitation part makes sense too, though, because it's been a while. So, but she's right. A really hardworking kid. She's got a good head on her shoulders.
So what was the most difficult scene to shoot given the subject matter?
I think the most difficult one was season one, episode two, where Amelia says she doesn't want to be friends with someone because of the color of her skin. Because Olive, like to this day, she still sort of worries that people think that she thinks that way, even though I explain that's a character, that's not you. Everybody knows that you're acting, you know, people understand that you don't feel that way. And it doesn't even end that way. It's a misunderstanding. No. But right. That one was a little bit stressful for all of us.
Well, but too, and the thing is, it is a show that deals very much in adult subject matter. And so, I mean, it made sense in the context of the story that was being told. And mm-hmm. I mean, but I understand why she felt that way. Yeah. 100%. Okay. So moving to the next question, mm-hmm. Funniest explanation given to cover for one of the scenes.
Sometimes we would have to spell things out phonetically. So when she started reading, it got really tricky because if she were going to read the script, we'd have to spell things differently. So that she didn't even really know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how familiar were you with Andrea Savage's humor prior to the audition?
Zero. And,
okay. Zero. So then what was your reaction to the first episode? Because my husband hated it and refused to watch anymore.
It was shocking to me because I just didn't know. I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. And there was a little bit of a shock factor, but I came around pretty quickly because again, I just appreciated her perspectives a lot. And so I became a fan.
Okay. Has Olive asked to watch the show and when will you let her watch it?
Yeah, she hasn't really asked to watch it. And part of it, the reason could be because my dad made a version where he cut out all the bad words and things, so we were able to roll through it. Back then she was really little and he cut out literally just the bad words, so there it quickly became okay, you can't watch this because now there's other things that aren't bad words. I'm like, Dad, what were you thinking? Like, you definitely didn't cut out enough. But I remember asking her, and I think we all sort of feel the same way where she's like, well, no, I was there. Like, I remember filming it over and over. Like I did that. I don't like for her to watch it. It's more of just like, yeah, I remember that I was there.
Okay.
So you can say she has something to say. I will also add on to your last question though and say, I'm kind of thinking when she's like 18, Or just when she's way older and wants to, because I would have to say that when I was a teenager, I do not think I heard half those things. Well,
really quick before that question, the thing you just said, I just want to say that I did wonder, like I know that I remember like filming and all the scenes I did, but I did wonder what it would be like put all together. And right now I don't know. It just doesn't really interest me. I don't really like feel
right
like I have to watch it because, you know, since it's too inappropriate for me, I just feel like, you know, I
good for you.
What a good so responsible.
A heart and of gold.
That's
over
a good
here.
Answer.
Yeah. I think it's
what a good head you have on your shoulders.
Heart of gold over
yeah.
here.
Yeah, and then the thing about like before she lets me watch it, I think it just kind of depends on how much I've learned about that stuff when I get older and how rebellious I feel.
Yeah, right.
And
how rebellious I feel in that moment. Listen, you're lucky that your mother protects you like that, because it's good. It's good. And you have this even keel sense of it, because it's good. Be a kid. Be 10.
All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining us on the show. It was so wonderful to talk to you both. It was so wonderful to meet you both. Olive, great work on the show. Such an impressive young actress. And I really admire the choices that you've made. I think they're smart, and you should definitely do what your heart tells you.
And I'm going to be more of a cheerleader there and be like, Olive, you're awesome. It's so funny. And we're just so, I'm an actor, and I'm in the same situations that you are. And just, you're so natural. It's the hardest thing to be. So thank you for being my inspiration. If you need someone to carry your bags, please call me.
Well, thank you for your support.
You're welcome.
If you need a body double, Josh.
You know, what? I almost submitted myself today for a stand-in for a child actor.
Oh,
and
my God.
And he was 4'3" and I'm 5'3". So it was like almost on it right there.
I mean, I want to hear your best Amelia impression coming up soon. So see how you do.
All right. Well, I hope to see you in more things if you choose to do that. If not, good luck on all your pursuits. Tracy, do you have any kind of social that you want to share with us, or not really? Or so it's
really? I will add this. The reason that Olive does have an Instagram, I'm actually really glad you brought this up, is because she used to ask me, we would take a picture of something and she'd go, oh, post this on your Instagram. And I'm like, I don't want to post that on my Instagram. And she's like, but it's so cool. Like, it'd be like her holding a potato chip with a hole. Right. Post that on Instagram. And I was like, ooh, I don't
She's just messing with you, Tracy. She just wants you to post silly stuff on your Instagram.
Yeah. So I said, you know what, girl, I'm going to make you one and you can on yours. So,
and Olive, I was super excited when you started following me. I was like, oh my God, it's the little
she has not followed me. What's up, Olive? What up? What's going on?
So I just wanted to keep our little community together, and she has things she like wants to share, and that's why. So yes, Olive has an Instagram, which is Olive Petrucci. It's pretty easy to find, and you can follow her, and you can rest easy knowing these are things that she wants to share, not just me being like, whoa, I better share this super cool thing about my kid, because I'm kind of not like that. We're not about that.
I'm psyched to see the dancing that you eventually will put on there.
Thank you. I have a recital coming up in like the summer. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I will definitely want my mom to take a video and post that.
She does. Oh, yes. I do feel bad. She has like a backlog of things. She's been like, ooh, that's good. Post that on like all kinds of cool little random things throughout the day that we
you
do.
You gotta pace
Maybe
it out.
Maybe she's an influencer.
One or two posts a week, nothing too crazy. That you know, I gotta need a day. So
how social media agency am I?
You should hire Brianna. She'll handle it for you. That's what she does. But Olive Petrucci. So that's on Instagram. And Brianna's Brihas One, right? Still, you haven't changed it. Mm-hmm. Jobs Blue podcast everywhere online. Check out the website. We have all the episodes up on there now. Check out Mr. Bing if you're looking for a spicy addition condiment to your food. Mr. Bing, do Jobs Blow for 10%, I think, 10% discount. Really get it. They're blowing up right now. So jump on that. And I'm Mr. Josh Hyman on all of the socials. Thank you guys so much. I'll send you the Team Movie Zoomy show. You can watch and point fingers and laugh at me. Okay? All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. What you want.